All right, well, good morning, everyone. Why don't we pray as we get into our study. Lord God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for blessing us with so much. Help us now, Lord, to discuss an important topic of angels. Lord, be with us today. Help us to learn and apply what we learn. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are not alone. We are not the only intelligent beings on earth. I'm not talking about aliens. I'm talking about angels. And we do not have to be afraid of them. God has a purpose with angels. When you read the Bible, you observe how many times the angels came to the rescue. Who brought Lot, his wife and daughters, out of Sodom and Gomorrah? The angels. Yes, remember when Jesus fasted for 40 days in the wilderness and was tempted by Satan? Who ministered to Jesus afterwards? Angels. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was sweating drops of blood, who strengthened him afterwards? Angels. And so our study about angels shouldn't make us more excited about them than God, but rather it should bring glory to the wonderful Creator who has created these spiritual beings. And so what are we going to do today? We're going to answer a couple questions. What are angels? When were angels created? Then we're going to talk about the purpose of angels. And lastly, our relationship to angels. And so what are angels? Here's a quick definition. Angels are created spiritual beings with moral judgment and high intelligence, but without physical bodies. Where do we see this? In Colossians 1, verse 16, it says that God created all things, visible and invisible. Are the angels visible or invisible? Invisible, right? And it says there that they were created through Christ and for him. And then, specifically, we see here this angelic world with the phrase, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or authorities, right? We do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but with principalities. And so angels can exercise moral judgment, since some of them have sinned and fell from their positions. If you read in Jude 6, that's all the way in Genesis 6, back when they fell. And so they're intelligent according to how they speak to people throughout the Bible and how they sing praises to God. And so angels are spirits. They do not have physical bodies. We also know that angels guard and protect humans. I want you to see this. Go to Psalm chapter 91. Psalm 91, verse 11. So here we observe how the angels guard and protect. Psalm 91, verse 11 says, "For he will give his angels charge concerning you, and to guard you in all your ways." Now jump to Hebrews 1:14. Hebrews in the New Testament, right before James. Hebrews 1:14. What do we learn about the angels here? Hebrews 1:14 says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation?" And so we see here that the angels are guarding. We don't see them, but they're guarding and protecting humans. And then we also know from time to time, angels took on a bodily form to appear to various people in Scripture. Where do we see that? Go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. And verse 5. Talk about this more next week, Lord willing, with the resurrection. Matthew 28, verse 5, it says, "The angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who had been crucified.'" And so angels appear from time to time in bodily form. I already mentioned Sodom and Gomorrah with the angels that rescued Lot and his family. And so I mentioned last week, if you had any questions or anything to talk about with angels, we'll probably address it later today. But any questions or comments here about the definition of angels or anything that maybe you were thinking before you got here, Oh, yeah, we're talking about angels. I have this question. Anyone? Yeah. Ah, good question. So, yes, in, like I mentioned in Genesis 6, we have them falling, rebelling. And even before that, Satan fell and he sinned. And so, next week we'll get into the topic of Satan and his demons, or demons in general, right? They're fallen angels. But yeah, I would argue now the angels would not be able to. But there's debate on that. And, you know, we see in the scripture the elect angels. So I also think the Lord gave them the grace to not fall there. Good question. Anyone else here? Yeah.
God loves people.
Mm-hmm.
God loves
Yeah, so think about it this way. If the book of Jonah, at the end, it's pretty interesting there how Jonah didn't care about the Ninevites. They were enemies to Israel, enemies to his people. And God gave him an illustration of a plant, and Jonah got upset when the plant got destroyed because it was bringing him comfort. And he gets upset, and God says, you know, why do you care about the plant that you did not even bring about, but you don't care about the 120,000 people, right, Nineveh? And also the animals. And so we see here, okay, why did God bring up the animals? Because God also cares about his creation. He cares about animals. And yes, of course, he cares about angels as well. All right. Yeah, one more.
I think God loves us more than any of his creation because we're the only one that he sends his only son to.
Yes, really good. So we are going to get there. Really good thought, Samantha. Yes, God, ultimately, we are created in his image. And so we'll get there. But really good questions and topics. All right, let's continue here. So, what about some other oh, you have a question? Yeah.
I'm wondering, does his creation, like these animals, go to heaven? Because I heard that
they don't. No, there's good debate on that. So, ultimately, heaven, there's going to be, in the new heavens and new earth, there are going to be animals, obviously angels as well. Well, yeah, there's debate on that, but the focus of the Bible and Scripture has been always the salvation of his people. Yeah, and so whether you'll see, you know, Fluffy again or whoever you can think of, that's something with God. Yeah, and there's so much. They have a spirit, so they don't necessarily have what we have, where we, you know, we have this this sinful nature, and we need redemption. The animals and the creatures, yeah, they're in a different category. But really good question. And we'll get to some of those questions. Why don't we continue here? So the sons of God are also mentioned in the Bible. And we see that in Job 1:6. Who are the sons of God? Angels, we see that. They're also called the holy ones in Psalm 89, verse 5. We just mentioned Hebrews 1:14, they're called spirits. And then we have in Daniel 4:13, they're called watchers. And so all these different names for these angels. And so we have the cherubim, the seraphim, and the living creatures. Pretty interesting. Some would say these aren't specifically angels, but others would argue they are. I want you to see there the cherubim. Go to Genesis 3, Genesis 3, verse 24. So we see here, Genesis 3, verse 24, we notice here that when man rebelled, they sinned, right? So God drove the man out, and out of the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed, what did he station? The cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. And so who are these cherubim? We would argue they are guardian, they are angels that are to guard the entrance of the Garden of Eden. They're also mentioned in Psalm 18:10. You have, you know, the mercy seat in Exodus 25, verse 22. And there's two cherubim there. And then we have the seraphim. Why don't you go to Isaiah 6, Isaiah 6, verses 2 to 7. Here we have the seraphim, and I really like here how they're described, right? Seraphim, verse 2, stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and two he flew. And one called to the another, right? Multiple seraphim here. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And then you go down to verse 5. Here's Isaiah with this vision of the Lord. What does he, you know, experience? He says, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I'm a man of unclean lips. And then verse 6, then one of the seraphim flew to him with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongues. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is forgiving. And so here we have seraphim as well who have this nonstop worship to the Lord. They are crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And then lastly, the living creatures in Ezekiel and Revelation, there we see this appearance of a lion, an ox, a man, and an eagle. And there we see that they are worshiping God continually. Day and night, they never cease to sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. And we see that in Revelation 4, 8. All right? Yes, like I said, we're going to get there next week. Yeah, yeah. So good thought here. So we got, today we're focusing on angels, mainly the ones that did not sin. Next week, because it's a huge topic, we're going to talk about Satan and his demons the week that follows, because we got the Easter brunch. All right, let's keep talking here about the rank and order among angels, right? We see that in Scripture, Michael is called an archangel. If you read in Jude 9, there it's mentioned, Michael the archangel. And this is a title that indicates rule or authority over other angels. We see that Michael is also called one of the chief princes in Daniel 10, 13. And so Michael, he appears to be this leader in this angelic army. And so we see that there's rank and order even among the angels. I want you to see this scripture. Go to Revelation. We'll be in Revelation a couple times. But Revelation 12. Verses 7 to 8, what do we see here? We see Michael. It says, and there was a war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon, and like you mentioned, the dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough, there were no longer a place found for them in heaven. And so here we have this battle, this great spiritual warfare. And then lastly, talking about Michael the archangel, Paul tells us that the Lord will return from heaven with the archangel's call in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Now, it's not just Michael that we can talk about. There's another angel that's named in the Bible. Does anyone know? Gabriel, yes. And so, Gabriel, another angel, he's mentioned in Daniel 8:6 and Daniel 9:21, as a messenger who comes from God to speak to Daniel, right? Angel, messenger, same idea there. And so what does he do? He goes to Zechariah. And remember, Zechariah doesn't believe, and he becomes mute for a bit. And he announces that he's going to have a son, and it's going to be John the Baptist, right? And then we have him going to Mary and announcing that she will have a son, and she is to call his name Jesus. And so we see Michael and Gabriel there. All right, any questions or comments about that? We see them. Yeah. Yes, demon possession. I think next week we're going to get more into that. But and they appeared as men. Yes. So like I said earlier, they could take the form of a body. And everyone would look at them and you know, say, oh, that's a man. But really, well, for the, you know, people in Sodom and Gomorrah, very handsome men, but they were actually angels. Uh-huh.
If
Oh, sorry. Any last thought there? Well, yeah, the appearance of it. Uh-huh. No, 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 yeah, it was, you're talking about David, King David? No, that was a prophet, Nathan, yeah, that wasn't, yeah, that wasn't Nathan. So the only two, and technically Satan, the only two that were mentioned by name is Michael and Gabriel. Yeah, okay, so some facts, maybe this will get a little bit into your question, Evan, but the first thing that we want to mention is angels are only one place at a time. Right? They travel from one place to another. In Daniel 10, 12 to 14, we read about an angel who left Michael, right? There was some spiritual war there in Persia. And he came to Daniel to make him understand what was to befall his people in the latter days, right? So he was helping Michael, the other angel, but then he has to go because Daniel's praying, and so God sends him to go talk to Daniel. So they're at one place at one time. They are not omnipresent. And so that's really good to know. Second thing is that there are many angels, right? There is a great number. In Deuteronomy 33, verse 2, we read that God on Mount Sinai came from the 10,000s of holy ones. And then in Psalm 86, the chariots of God are tens of thousands and thousands of thousands. Hebrews 22 uses the phrase innumerable angels. And so think millions and millions and more. So there are plenty of angels. And then Revelation alludes to one-third of them falling. But another thing about angels is that they do not marry. Why don't you go to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. We see in verse 30 a very important verse. Jesus is answering the Sadducees, the Pharisees. He's debating with a lot of religious leaders who deny the resurrection. And so what does Jesus say in Matthew 22, 30? He says, "For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven." Okay, so we see that angels do not marry, and this should also remind us of our future resurrection. We will be like the angels. We will not marry. Number four, one more. Angels are powerful beings, right? They're called the mighty ones who do His word. We see in Hebrews 2:7 that human beings are made lower than the angels. And so again, remember, the angels are created beings. Though they may be powerful, they are not omnipotent like God, right? They are not all powerful. Yes, question.
Do they have a gender?
Yeah, so, no, like I said, I think they're called sons of God. There's masculine. Yeah, they're called sons of God, masculine. But even if you think about it, when we say Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we wouldn't say that God is male, but we would say that God is spirit. Now, of course, second person of the Trinity, Jesus, you know, took the form of a man, so we would say Jesus is fully God, fully man. But yeah, no, like I said, these are good questions. There's great debate on that, but I would say no. And then also, yeah, just because they're called Michael, Gabriel, more masculine name, same thing. So, I mean, you don't want to get too into it, but a male, we know what a male has, we know what female has, so there's different. And so, yeah, I would say angels aren't. But really good question. All right, let's keep going here. Now, this is a good discussion question. Do people have individual guardian angels? What do you guys think? Yes? Raise your hand. Yes? Raise your hand. No? There's some debate about it. Why don't we look at some of the scripture? So Psalm 91, remember, we know that God sends angels for our protection. But does that mean we have one specific angel that is always with us? I'm going to argue no. It's okay if you disagree. But Matthew 18:10, here's some verses that the other side will use to support their view. Matthew 18:10, and I'll give you why I disagree with the guardian angels, but I like the thought. All right, Matthew 18:10. So this one's a good verse here. Just to really convict those who are doing such sins and whatnot, especially against little children. Verse 10 says, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Okay? Their angels would be the argument. And one more. Let me give you one more. Acts 12:15. And I'll explain why I disagree. Acts 12:15 here. We have Peter who's in prison, and then we know that an angel sets him free, and he's going to go to the prayer room, and they were praying for him to be set free, and God answers their prayer right away. And we see someone who says, in verse 15, they said to her, the people to the little girl, "You are out of your mind." But she kept insisting that it was so, and they kept saying, "It is his angel." Right? They didn't think it was Peter knocking on the door. He's in prison. No way. I mean, we just prayed about it, but no way. And they were saying it's his angel. All right. So, like I mentioned before, angels, they come and go as the Lord directs. The other verses that are used to argue for guarding angels do not state that it was the permanent task that the angels were given to be with that person. So, we shouldn't be dogmatic and say, well, everyone has a guardian angel. We can say, okay, the Lord has a purpose with all different angels. Like I said, Michael was fighting Satan at one time. Then he's in Persia, you know, doing some more spiritual warfare. We had that one angel that was talking to Michael, fighting and all that, in that spiritual war. But then he had to go to Daniel and, basically tell him about the latter days. And so angels come and go. I think that's a better way to think about it. But any pushback or any comments there with guardian angels? I know it's an interesting topic. Yeah, so when Jesus says, or Paul in Philippians and other scriptures, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, right? So there's nothing in scripture that teaches that we become angels and start ministering to other believers. What it does say, and other scriptures say, that you will be with him in paradise. You know, you're going to be with God. Another aspect is we are waiting for our resurrected bodies. And so there's more scripture that would side to saying no to that. It's a nice thought, you know, and I think what happens is a lot of traditions kind of come into play. But the main thing is looking at the scripture. And if the scripture doesn't teach that and says, when you die, you're going to be an angel and minister to, then we got to be careful and say, okay, it's not in scripture, so we can't say this is true. But good thought, and yeah, I have thought of that before. All right, let's keep going here, unless anyone has anything else. Okay. Really good questions. Like I said, angels can be an interesting topic. Second question that we want to answer is, when were angels created? Really good question. I'll be brief here. Before the seventh day of creation. If you read Genesis 2, 1 and Exodus 20, 11, it states, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them." And then in Exodus, "In 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day." Okay, so definitely before the seventh day of creation. And some would even argue that he created angels on day one. Where did they get that from? Job 38, verses 6 to 7 says, "The morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God," right, another name for angels, "shouted for joy at that time when God laid the cornerstone of the earth and sunk its bases in the process of forming or founding it." And so if angels shouted for joy when God was making the earth inhabitable, then it could imply that God created the angelic beings early on the first day. Again, let's not be dogmatic here about the timing. Any questions or comments about this question? When were angels created? They definitely were created. They were never... Yes?
Is there a finite number
of angels? Or are they... Yeah, there's no... We don't see where there's... All right, God was created some angels, and he's going to create more angels later on. We saw that he created all of them. The word "all" is the key there. all angels have been created. But good question. All right. So let's talk about the purpose of these angels. And we have five here. The first one, angels show the greatness of God's love and plan for us. How do we see that with angels? Well, angels are never said to be made in the image of God. So this goes back to what Samantha was saying. And so we are more like God than the angels are. One day, God will even give us authority over angels. If you read in 1 Corinthians 6:3, we are called to judge them. And so we will rule over angels. And even today, we're not serving the angels. The angels are serving us, according to Hebrews 1:14. And so we also know that God didn't spare the angels that sinned. He did not choose to redeem them. And you know, at the book of Revelation, you're going to see all those angels that fell, they will have their part in the lake of fire with Satan and all that. And so, but God did choose to redeem humans that sin. And so we see here the angels, those that sin, they have no redemption. But humans that have sin, they do have redemption. And so we can experience God's grace. All those angels that never sinned, they will never experience God's grace in that sense, where we have been forgiven of our sins. And so they do not understand that. They long to look into that, though. Second thing here, angels remind us that the unseen world is real. If you read in 2 Kings, the Lord opens the eyes of Elijah's servant to the reality of this invisible world that the servant saw, that this mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah, right? There's this great angelic army to protect Elijah from the Syrians. If you read Joshua or different books of the Bible, you see just how can 300 men beat a huge army? Well, don't forget, God is also present. You know, the Lord is the one leading them. And, you know, you can get into the whole angel of the Lord and different aspects of it, but there's this spiritual warfare. It's not just what you see. There's the unseen. Psalm 148, the psalmist says, praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. And so the psalmist knows that there's angels around, even if he can't see them. We also know, the third thing, is that angels can be an example for us. How? Well, they obey and worship God, and they do it with great joy. They delight in humbly serving the Lord, and many of them worship God nonstop. They have this great theology and doxology, and they say with this loud voice, if you read in Revelation 5, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And so we can ask ourselves, do we have this great joy in praising our Lord? How is our theology and doxology? Another purpose, angels carry out some of God's plans. We already looked through some scriptures here, but they bring God's message to people, and they also carry out God's judgment. If you read in Revelation 16, these bowls of judgment, we see an angel doing that. And then when Jesus comes back, we see that angels are going to be coming with him, according to Matthew 16, verse 27. And they also carry out war against demonic forces. Who is the one that puts Satan in the abyss? An angel. We see that in Revelation 20. And so one last purpose is that angels directly glorify God. They sing praises to God. When Christ was born in Bethlehem, what happens? A multitude of angels praise him, and they say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. That's Luke 2:14. Jesus tells us that there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. When a sinner repents, when they believe, the angels are excited. They're full of joy. Peter also tells us that the angels long into the glories of the plan of salvation as it works out in the lives of individual believers each day. All right, so any questions or comments here about God's purpose with the angels? Yes. Yeah, no. So we don't get the full, especially with questions with heaven. You know, one question is like, what are we going to be doing? We don't get all those answers. The main thing is we are going to be with God. But one of the things, which is interesting, I mean, Corinthians is an interesting thing because, you know, with the head covering, because of the angels, lots of questions there. But yes, we don't have the answer why exactly, but it does show us, what can we take away from that? It does show us that, wow, human beings are created in the image of God. And so, yes, another aspect is he had to die for our sins. He didn't have to die for the angels' sins. And so that kind of goes into this next question. But good thought there. How can the example of angels who joyfully and faithfully perform their assigned tasks be of help to you in the responsibilities that you face today, whether at work or at home in the church? So think about it. Okay. And I think this is better to maybe think about rather than all the specifics, you know, how is it that we're going to judgment a lot? I think it's good to think, okay, what does it mean for us? What does the example of angels do for us? What would you guys say?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
To protect us.
Protect us. Think about the example. Uh-huh.
To lead us in the
effort.
They're obedient and they never waver.
Yes, good. Andres, you had some?
My chapter goes for you specifically because I saw, you know, when you watch the news or something, there are really bad accidents.
Uh-huh.
And the guys who are in the accident, they're still alive. So how will it be possible to...
Uh-huh, yeah. Kind of going back with a couple of weeks ago, we mentioned miracles. Yeah, angels could be used there. Uh-huh.
They're servants of the Lord, so in that way, we serve others.
Exactly. Yeah. Did you have something?
No, I was going to say, like, in the heavenly realm, the angels are God's servants. So they do God's, they're messengers. So they do what God tells them to do. So they're obedient. If they're not obedient, they're rebellious, like Satan.
Mm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Master, or are we disobedient like Satan?
That's yeah.
The similarity that
really good thought. Mm-hmm. Did you have some? Yeah, I thought I saw your hand.
The assurance of God's power over us.
Oh, yeah.
And our actions.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should be more careful.
Yes.
We have something we never had. We've got to
think. Exactly. Yeah, we should be more thankful and joyful. Yeah. They sing. They sing a lot, nonstop, for some of them. And so it should motivate us that these created beings obey God all the time. They love the Lord, and they work hard for the glory of God. Do we? Remember, they're not robots or puppets. They enjoy listening to God and singing praises to Him. All right. Our last topic here of angels is our relationship to them. We should be aware of angels in our daily lives. We read that in Hebrews 13:2. Really important, so listen up. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. I don't know about you, but sometimes I think about this verse a lot throughout my day. When things happen, I'm like, man, maybe that was an angel. Listen, guys. It's in scripture here. How do you treat other people? You know, maybe one day we're going to meet one of them and be like, yeah, I remember you, man. You weren't so nice at that oil change. Oh, man, my bad. you see, it could be, and this is what Andres was saying, that when we are suddenly delivered from a danger or distress, we might suspect that angels have been sent by God to help us. And we should be thankful. For example, we see this in scripture when an angel shut the mouth of the lions so that they would not hurt Daniel. We just mentioned Peter, who was delivered from prison by an angel, and then also the apostles in Acts 5 were delivered from prison by an angel. Now, I think it's really important, though, to have this discussion. There are cautions about false doctrine from angels. And of course, false worship of angels. And so I want you to notice these verses here. Galatians 1, I want you to turn to Galatians 1, verse 8. Yeah, I definitely don't want you to leave this study and be like, where are the angels? I want to meet one. Guys, be careful. Look what Galatians 1:8 warns us with. And so, you see Paul here who's shocked, amazed that they're deserting the true gospel. And look what he says here in verse 8. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Paul makes this warning because he knows there's a possibility of deception. One more verse here, and you guys know this, so I won't have you go there. 2 Corinthians 11:14, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So we know that there are many religions that fell into this trap, right? The Mormons are an example of falling into false doctrine because of angels. And the closing of the canon of Scripture should warn us that no further revelation of doctrine is to be given by God today. And any claims to have been received, this additional revelation of doctrine should be rejected as false. And so really important, guys, do not worship angels. Do not pray to them. Do not seek them. We see in Colossians 2:18 that the worship of angels was one of the false doctrines that were being taught at Colossae. And so who are we to pray to? Pray to God alone. Scripture, if you read in Scripture, it never commands us to seek after angels. All right, any questions or comments about that? Yeah, Vanessa and then Sam. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we said that before. Mm-hmm. No, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Revelation. Yeah, like we said beforehand, angels come and go. They have different times and places that God wants them there. We don't know all those details, but yeah, Michael the archangel was an example of that. Samantha and then Joe.
Yeah, so from the study, I kind of like, one of my takeaways was the purpose of God creating the angel was to help him. Like, he's a helper. And I know that Holy Spirit is also part of Trinity, is the helper. What is the,
So, like I said, God has a purpose with his creation. He had a purpose with the angels. But yeah, the Holy Spirit is definitely nothing close to an angel because the Holy Spirit is God, right? Third person of the Trinity. He is omnipresent. We learned about that when we studied the Trinity. The angels aren't. And so, I can understand the comparison at times. Oh, okay, angels help. The Holy Spirit helps as well. But like I said, and maybe we'll get into it a little bit later next week, but angels, they worship God. They worship the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And then even us, one day we will judge the angels. But yeah, last one here, because we got to move on. Joe.
When you said angels and sin have no redemption, then basically saying that Satan, one third of the angels that fell, there's no incentive or no reason. It's like,
And if you look throughout the Gospels, when Jesus interacts with demons, even those demons worship God and ask permission and say, please send me to the pigs. They are being used by Satan to attack God's people. We'll get into it next week, like I said. Yes. So, Bob, last one, if you had something. Last one here. Say it again, sir. And like I said, we'll get into it. Yeah, and no, that's a good point. So, like I said, when we talk about Satan and demons, we'll focus more there. But let's get into our. You have a question? Yep.
Yes. If one of the purposes of an angel is to be a messenger of God, what message is
Yeah.
If people say they have a guardian angel, what is that? Through the guardian angel, what is God trying to convey to that person specifically?
Yeah, and that actually goes hand in hand with our question with do angels appear to people today? So back then, if you read throughout the Old Testament, most of the time the angels are there to encourage God's people and then also pronounce what God was going to do. And so, like I mentioned with Gabriel appearing to Zechariah and Mary, hey guys, you are going to have a son. And so for Zechariah, in his case, he didn't really believe because his wife was of age. And so they're really preparing us for what is to come. And then it also is going to be God's witness. And so the angels really served as his witness in the sense of, okay, this is what God said was going to happen, and it did happen. And so this prophecy comes true. And so it's really to, we go back to last week, authenticate the message that God has. But ultimately, today, like I said, at least to this question, do angels appear to people today? Anyone say yes or no to that?
I think no.
You don't know.
I think I'm crazy. I think you're born of a dog. And I'll tell you why. Because dogs don't judge. They're very loving and caring. And they just look out for us.
So you think like angels possessing or with the dog? What are you saying?
I'm
confused by your statement. I'm sorry.
Well,
like I said, I went back, and this, I guess, goes back to our first question. God cares about all his creatures. He cares about animals. Remember with Jonah, he cares about humans, and he also cares about angels. But I wouldn't go as far to say that. Last one, Bob. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And that is where I was getting at. So we can't be dogmatic and say it doesn't happen. But we should use extreme caution, right? Many times it can actually be demonic appearances. And so scripture is our guide, not angels. So we need to seek God's word. And ultimately, angels, they want us to depend on God, not them. They serve us. We do not serve them. Evan, you had something? Oh, yeah. And we're going to get, let's end with that. So, in summary, angels are creatures. Do not worship them. Look at Revelation 19, our last verses here. Revelation 19, guys. Here we have John, the beloved, with this vision in Patmos. Revelation 19:10. And then, I fell at his feet to worship him. After the angel declared so many good things about the future, what does he say? Do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. And then look at Revelation 22, verse 9. So I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. When I heard and saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Thank you for showing me this, angel. I'm worshiping you. Verse 9. But he said to me, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who heed the words of this book. Worship God. And so, angels obey God's will, so should we. Angels minister to humans, so we should be thankful to God for his for their ministry. And our last questions that I want you to think about as we close, and think about this throughout the week. Do you rejoice like the angel when a sinner repents? The angels are full of joy when they hear about a sinner who turns from their wicked ways. Do you rejoice when a family member or a coworker or someone that you know believes in Jesus for the first time? And lastly, do you have great joy knowing you serve a good master?